Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and one of my favorite people in the world is joining us once again. It is Jane Paul from Early On and Crow. We're going to be talking about early childhood education and development. Jane, welcome back.
Thanks for having us again, Bob.
It's always a joy to listen to what you have to say, and you're talking about something that normally we think of with joy, but then you start to think about it a little bit deeper, and then a few little stressors can sort of settle in. And that's the month of December and everything that comes along with it.
Absolutely. And I've got to admit, I mean, I started writing my article for our newsletter back in November thinking, oh, what am I going to write about? And it's just like my emotions were all over the board. You know, if you could name it, that's what I was feeling. It was just wild.
And why is that? I mean, if we think about it, I'm sure we can come up with the answer, but it is a little bit different for each individual.
Absolutely. I think we've had so many things thrown at us. We're a family who's usually pretty healthy. And this fall, being back with all our kids who are back in school and just so many different germs being around, we have had a fall of illness, you know, between colds and just everything that's going seemed to come our way. And rather than being able to sort of flake that off, you know, it was catching up with us. So we haven't been well. So I think that's a part of it. You know, when we're not doing physically well, that puts a big stressor on our body and gives us less resources to deal with everything else.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I don't know anybody who hasn't been sick at one point or another in the past couple of months. And then when you look at it, other than, you know, bouts of COVID that can be quite serious, but for the most part, people didn't have flu. They didn't have many colds for the past couple of years because we were isolated and keeping away. But now that everybody is mixing and so on, we knew that the flu and cold season would be back, but holy smokes, nobody knew it would be back with a vengeance like this.
Right. And we forget, you know, we forget some of our basic rules about, you know, keeping ourselves healthy. And a big part of it, like you said, was we just weren't with each other. And now that we are, that's back. So we're dealing with that. And like you said, COVID is still around. We're still dealing with that, especially at times when we're going to gather together, right? And then, of course, it's holiday season. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my holidays. I love celebrations, but it comes sometimes with a lot of stress in there as well. So there's just so many little stressors, I think, that we're dealing with. And sometimes that gets in the way of us living our life.
And I was going to say, as we're going through all of this, our young ones that we're trying to guide through life, they're watching us go through this, right?
Right, absolutely. And boy, if you haven't been sick and you have little ones, they've probably been sick in there, right? So you're dealing with not just yourself, but caretaking for others as well. You know, and then comes along our holidays. We want to pull all family together. We're sometimes taking care of parents as well, right? That sandwich generation where we've got young ones and old ones, and we're sort of in the middle in there. Now I'm getting on the far side of that, so I become one of those pieces of bread on the outside, but it's just still a lot of stress. And somewhere in the middle of there comes that idea of, you know what? I just want to have fun with my family. I want to gather together. I want to have some joy and some love and some celebration in here. And sometimes it can just feel overwhelming when you're dealing with everything else. So that's sort of what I wanted to talk about today.
All right. So, and it's interesting because when you look at the holidays and everything that the month of December brings, it as you're dealing with these stressors, we've talked about this before. When you enter a stressful situation, you are still the one that your child is looking to see how to act, and you need to model that behavior. If it's a all of a sudden stressful situation, say a death in the family, an accident, or a loss of a job, or something like that, you know, you're sort of reacting on the fly. But this is a little bit different because you can see it coming from a mile away. It's this it's this train that's just barreling right at you.
It is. And I think what you said is really important when we talk about resilience and getting through times that are tough. It's really that. It's remembering that a lot of these things are short-lived, right? They may be intense at the moment, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. They're short-lived. The stressors aren't in everything, it's in specific events, and it doesn't last forever. It's only going to last for this amount of time. So keeping that in mind is a huge, huge resiliency skill. The other piece you mentioned in there is we're always modeling for our kids. We are always teaching. They are always learning. And so that's, for me, that's a huge part of this time of year too. What is it that I want to model? What does this time of year mean to me? So there's a big difference in there. I think part of it is that, I want to model things that are core beliefs in my system. Now, sometimes we get caught up in our belief system. We call them iceberg beliefs, where we're doing things like the top of the iceberg that sticks out of the water, but we aren't quite sure why we're doing them because there's that whole big piece of the iceberg underneath that we don't always see. So for me, it's really important to stop, to breathe, just center myself a little bit and think about the situation. You can rethink and reframe what's going on and decide what it is you actually want to do. So this time of year for me is all about family. We want to gather together. We want to have some fun together. We want to share food. It's also about community. We go out and we pack Christmas hampers. We head off to our local church. We're a part of that community. We're thinking about others as well as ourselves. So those are some of the core beliefs that we wanted to get across to our kids. And we have to model those, right? That's how they learn.
I was going to say, the best way to actually accomplish that is by modeling. And one thing I just sort of wanted to go back to is when you said you have to take a couple of moments, you have to pause, you have to pull yourself out of the situation. That's good for them to do as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're modeling what to do when you start to feel overwhelmed in all sorts of situations.
Yeah, and you bring them along for that sort of that respite journey, if you will. All right, let's just calm down. We do this all the time. Let's just calm down. Let's breathe. Let's have a seat. You want a snack or something like that, and remove from the situation a little bit before you move on. But when it comes to basic holiday survival, as you've put it here, and it's so true. I mean, that's a very accurate description. It can be difficult to manage it all, especially when you're looking at. I'm being pulled in like 18 different directions, and one of them is certainly caring for your child and making sure that you are, use the word again, modeling the best behaviors for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it. You have to choose with awareness in here. You have to narrow things down, choose just a couple of small goals that you want to deal with, and realize that, there's also going on the rest of the year too. But for this time of year, what is it I want to be involved in? What do I want them involved in? For us, one of the things is gratitude in there. Gratitude is important to make sure that we're thinking about what we already have, how privileged we are to be together, to have each other, to be able to get together to celebrate this time of year. We also think about gratitude as kindness that we're going to show to others as well, that we have the ability to step out of our own shoes into someone else's, have some empathy, and to provide for them, whether it's just a smile or holding open the door. I mean, lots of people call them random acts of kindness, right? And I think that's a big part of gratitude. And a funny thing happens when you look into the scientific research, and you know me, I always want to know the science behind what's going on. When you look into that, the giver gets as much out of it as the receiver does. All those good feeling hormones and things that are flooding in your body when you receive kindness and, empathy from someone else also are there and present for the giver as well. So I think it's one of those times that helps to buoy your spirit in there and just lift you up a little bit when you're involved in that kind of relationship with someone else.
It's amazing the endorphins that get released when you give something. And I've seen similar studies as well. Like they monitor a person who's about to give a gift to someone, and you see the excitement and so on that they go through. It's often more than the person who's receiving the gift. You know,
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always been that way too. I love giving gifts, and I love to see the people's reaction when they get them. And that to me is more fun than actually receiving gifts sometimes.
So you're speaking to what we call the love languages of life, right? The different ways that people show love and caring towards each other. And one of them is, giving and receiving gifts. There's also things like words of affirmation where we just tell someone how much we care about them, right? And tell them what we appreciate about them back to that gratitude again. And then there's the acts of service, going out and doing something for someone else. They're spending quality time, which to me is a really big part of this season, just getting together as a family and spending that time. And then there's physical touch. And that's one I really want to speak about. When we have all these sort of random relatives that show up once or twice a year, and we have young kids, quite often we need to step in and remind those people that love language of touch can be wonderful. I mean, right now we have a granddaughter who just turned 10 months old, and she's at that age where, when she sees me, she'll get this big smile on her face, and her arms will, reach out towards me, and she just wants to come to me. There is no better feeling in the entire world for a grandma than to have a little grandchild reach out and want to come to them.
Or a grandpa.
Or a grandpa, sorry about that. It's all about
I
me today, Bob. Sorry.
know, I'm sorry.
But I mean, one of the things that we have to remember is that when kids are seeing relatives or friends that they don't see very often, sometimes that's not appropriate. Giving those goodbye hugs, those hello hugs, getting kisses from people you don't know. This is the age that we start teaching consent and respect at, very, very young. So one of the things we want to remind people is there are lots of ways to say goodbye and say hello. You can wave, you can blow a kiss, you can do all sorts of things. We had a family that came to playgroup years ago. The kids are grown now, but they used to leave every day at playgroup with one of those, see you later alligators. And they would have a new one every time they came. They kept us on our toes because we had to keep up with that, right? So having a tradition of saying something like that, later gator, bye bye butterfly, out the door dinosaur, all that kind of stuff. Those traditions can mean just as much as a physical hug or a kiss or an embrace. We do lots of high fives at playgroup, even though parents say, oh, come and give so and so a hug goodbye. They'll say, oh, you know what? A high five is good. Just reminding kids that their body is their own and they have rights to that too. And sometime at this time of year, coming from the best place inside us, we forget that. So that's one of those pieces just to remember in there that sometimes kids who are often overwhelmed to start with everything that's going on, don't need that extra overwhelming piece of having to hug and touch people they really don't know.
Any final words on the subject before we talk about where people can find you and find the wonderful information that Early On shares?
I guess just remember, we want to model gratitude, we want to model kindness and flexibility in there, some resilience, and always, remembering that things like routines keep kids feeling safe and secure, and routines are not about time. So if you're out at grandma and grandpa's and you come home late, you can still have your bedtime routine, whether it starts at 6 or whether it starts at 9. Brush those teeth, get your pajamas on, read a story, tuck in bed. That those are the types of things that help ground kids back in again. And for ourselves as well, if you have routines that you need to do to make yourself feel better and grounded and just to settle yourself down, to stop, breathe, rethink the situation and say, what is it I really need to do now? And all those things that we think we should do, don't should yourself to death, right? Decide, choose with awareness what it is you want to do this Christmas season and go for those things.
Excellent, Jane. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And there's so much more information out there for people online. Let's start with the website.
Yep. crowlanark.com is our main website for the organization. So come and check us out there. We'll have all the information about playgroups that are happening right through this season. There's something happening in the county somewhere, you know, Monday to Thursday all the time, and some Saturdays. So check that out there. We have lots of Facebook pages as well. Type in your area, whether it's Perth, Carleton Place, Mississippi Mills, and follow it by early on, and you'll find the playgroup page come up, and that will tell you what's happening there. And as always, if you have questions or just need to talk or need to know who to talk to, you can contact me on Messenger on Facebook through Crow Parent Education.
All right. Well, Jane, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to our next conversation in January. Till then, all the best for the holiday season, and thank you for all the conversations we had over the past of the year, and certainly a happy new year to you and to that big, wonderful family of yours.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, however you celebrate this season, you know, we wish you joy and happiness and togetherness. So we'll see you in the new year.
Jane Paul from Early On and Crow Lanark joining us today. We've been talking about early childhood education and development with Jane, as we do once a month here on Lake 88. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.